Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome back to I'm the Devil.
Yes, welcome back to I'm the Devil, a Vanderpump rewatch recap podcast.
And we post bonus episodes every week that you can listen to. We did a deep dive on Trisha Paytas.
Oh, we talked about Eva Longoria's Steakhouse for Women. We went on Reddit.
So just like get freaking into it, guys, gals, and non-binary pals.
Oh, cute.
Thanks.
Really, really cute. Guys, gals, and non-binary pals, MAPA.
Wait, what's MAPA?
MAPA is non-binary parent.
Oh, NAPA.
MAPA.
Oh, just, okay, I thought it was an acronym.
Yeah.
I want to say something quick about this podcast. I'm sorry about the audio. I really am sorry about the audio. I'm trying my fucking hardest. I'm fighting for my fucking life every day.
Wait, Sophia, you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you so much. To me, it sounds like shit to me because I'm the one editing it.
Right, of course. And hats off to you.
Yeah.
To me, it sounds good. And I think almost every episode has sounded to me nearly perfect, except for that one where we got a comment from our friend that was like, for some weird reason, Hannah sounds quiet. And it's like,
I was trying my fucking best.
We know.
We know. We also quickly, this week's bonus episode is going to be on the lesbian master doc. Depending on how much we/I choose to share about my personal life, we might put that on a Patreon.
I personally will be sharing like literally a ton.
I think I will too, in a way that I don't want that on a main feed. And we have like 34 people listening to this, so it's kind of funny to start a Patreon. But I think it's better to do it sooner than later.
I think so too.
I want Hannah to quit her fucking job. I want to get better microphones for this bitch.
Yeah. I would love to quit my two jobs and focus on the podcast. So please help me accomplish my dream.
Please, please, please. So that's just like a heads up.
Yeah, please click
and
onto that.
And if that happens, I'll put the Patreon in the below. Editors, note, this is Sophia from the future. The Lesbian Master Doc episode is actually already available on Patreon. What is coming out this week is that we're going to talk about the Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni lawsuit. We're going to talk about James Kennedy. We're going to talk about the Lily J article, which is the article that Ethan Slater's ex-wife wrote. I also read an article called How Dare Celebrities Cheat for The New Yorker or The Atlantic. And I did an entire deep dive on the Brangelina cheating thing.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you, Sophia.
Yeah.
What is the sexy, unique thing that happened to you this week?
Okay. This week, I went on a magical trip upstate New York this weekend, and that was like the sexiest and most unique thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy really happened there, but I just went to, my friend Marley took me to Camp Singers, which is a property owned by the Queer Bar Singers, which is in Brooklyn. And they have just like a beautiful cabin, a ton of land. They have donkeys that are so cute, and they all have little hats that they wear.
The donkeys were so cute. When I saw that picture, so I filled with an envy you can't even begin to
They're
imagine.
They're so cute. Their names are Snickers, Blossom, and what's their last? It's Snickers, Blossom, and
Starburst.
They're so fucking cute. I fed them hay. They have like a cedar tub, like a huge cedar hot tub.
Oh my God.
It's so nice. They have like these like sauna tents, and they're building like a real sauna too.
It's like a resort.
It is like a resort.
For gay people.
It is literally a resort for gay people.
It's like the White Lotus.
Yeah. That's for kind of straight people though.
Yeah.
And there's like one twink there at all times. But I just had such a nice time. We cooked like a bunch of nice meals and
I saw you had steak.
Oh, and I shot a gun.
Oh yes, you shot
Period.
A gun. First time ever, right?
Yeah, first time ever.
First time shooter.
I was really bad at like the target portion of it, but I felt amazing shooting the gun.
To me, that's reassuring. If you had been like sharp shooter off the bat, I would have had some concerns.
Marley was really good at it, and so was Jordan, the other person that was there with us. I did not hit a single target and they all hit them.
Right.
But it's just not in my nature. Like, I've never done sports that require like aim.
Right. Or like a video game.
I've never played video games.
Or like a Nerf gun even.
No.
Yeah.
And
I think
I'm going to shoot a gun again after Christmas. Because I told my cousin and my best friend who I'm going to be with at Christmas that like I shot a gun and they were like, we have to shoot guns together.
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
it's good to know how to do legit. Sorry.
It's good to know how to do. They obviously need to have massive controls over them.
Of course.
Duh.
Of course. I mean, I'm obviously not like...
let me get a gun.
Yeah. Obviously, I think you guys should know, would assume that I'm not like pro everyone having a gun and shit. But I do think it's just good to know how to use.
Right. Exactly. Because like, what if the circumstance arises? I personally have shot a gun many a time, but only a BB gun.
Okay, period.
Because I used to set up cans in my back. This makes me sound like Hicksville McGee. But I lived like deep in the woods of Ohio, and I would set up cans in my backyard and then fire off BBs at them.
Hell yeah.
And then my mom would take out the BB gun when the squirrels were eating her plants and
shoot them.
But it doesn't kill them. It just...
That's worse, though. It just injures them.
No, it literally just scares them. She has like really bad aim. She wasn't hitting them.
Totally. That was really fun. And I'll say this, like, if fucking Republicans or whatever know how to shoot guns, then transgender people should also know how to shoot guns.
Transgender people should know how to shoot guns, I think, way more than Republicans should know how to shoot guns.
I agree.
If anybody should have access to guns, it should be the trans community and nobody else.
Marley was like, arm the dolls. I was like, period.
Literally. That's my radical take.
I'm running on a platform of giving every transgender person a gun. And then I started my tea. I got my prescription last week and I started it. So that obviously is so no exciting. Effect so far.
Your voice dropped like 10 octaves from last week.
Hello.
Full beard.
I told Hannah this, but when I went to go get the prescription and like my blood work done, the doctor was like telling me like, yeah, kind of in a way of like tempering my expectations, being like, yeah, with facial hair and stuff, like that's just genetic. So like if like your dad or brother like can't or can grow a beard, like that's a good indication. And I was like, the way I actually do not want facial hair,
right?
And I got so scared imagining myself with, ew, imagine me with a full beard.
I mean, when you told me that, it was the first thing I tried to picture and I couldn't.
It's so tough.
You with a full beard, what would you even look like? Let's try one on one day for fun. Or like a filter. Let's put a filter on.
I know, but I do like a little, I guess a little bit of facial hair can be cute. I just don't know if it's like my style.
Right. I have a little bit of facial hair. Not so cute. My mustache in the sun right now is like, it's crazy.
But I feel like your facial hair is blonde.
My facial hair on my chin, because I have like chin hair, which is fuck my life, makes me want to die. My mom has it too. She calls it her goat hairs. And she said she started getting them when she was 50. I started getting them when I was 19. So what the fuck is that about? That is blonde. It's just spiky. And then my mustache hair is a little bit darker.
Okay, period. Hannah, what sexy, unique thing happened to you this week?
Honestly, like, not that much. So it's wholesome what happened to me this week. It's like really not very sexy. I just have been working my two fuck ass jobs so much.
Subscribe to the Patreon,
please. That I haven't had like a ton of time to be like partying or being sexy or being unique or like buying new clothes, stuff like that.
Totally.
But I did decide, since I don't have a ton of extra cash this year, that I have to hand make all of my Christmas presents.
Totally.
So I handmade my mom a sleep mask, like an eye mask.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's actually right here.
Oh, Hannah, that's adorable. It's plaid with little hearts like stitched on the front.
Yeah.
That is so freaking cute, Hannah.
It's cute. I really hope she likes it.
I bet she will.
And then I'm making my sister, who does listen to this, so please close your ears, handmade bookmarks, because she's a bookworm.
Period.
And then I'm going to go to Greenwood Cemetery, which is right near my house, and do a rubbing of the gravestone of my like really distant relative who's buried there, to give to my dad, because he cares about family a lot.
That's so sweet, Hannah.
Thank you. And then
I don't know what I'm getting any of my family members for Christmas.
I never do. I was flooded with inspiration for some reason.
That's amazing.
Thank God.
It's always like literally Christmas Eve, my brother and I at TJ Maxx being like, what the fuck do we do?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been really into crafting. I also have to make 3 birthday cards this week, and I'm doing like image transfers from magazines, and it's coming out awesome.
That's amazing. You're on your fucking craft grind, girl.
Yeah. So basically I'm getting back in touch with my creative side, which feels amazing.
That's amazing.
I love to be an artist.
And the artistry loves you back. It is so crazy. Sorry, that something I was just remembering is that this podcast will be a record of my voice dropping on testosterone.
It's really cool that you don't have to do one of those "This is my voice 1 week on tea" on TikTok. You can just do it on here.
That's gonna be amazing for everyone. Okay, should we get into the episode?
Yes, let's do it. Can I say the title? I want to do it in an accent.
Yes, please.
The title of this episode is Caught with Your Trousers Down.
Caught with... I can't. I literally can't do a British accent. I can't
do
accents.
Can you try?
Caught with your trousers down. I can't.
That wasn't that bad.
Thank you.
I mean, mine was like comparable to that.
I could never do like a legit one. I could really try to do like fucked up Hackney or something. Like,
right.
Whatever I do will be offensive to the British people.
That's so fine. That's fine.
And fuck y'all. Just kidding. All of. Okay. Caught with Your Trousers Down.
Yeah. Season 1, episode 6,
I think. So we open with... Laura Lee and Kristen rehearsing lines. They are doing these things that they do in like the first season. These scenes where, I don't know, they're trying to like prove something about them. It's like they have these scenes that are totally unrelated to the plot and it's just them being like, I'm an actor. I'm a model.
Yeah.
I'm blah, 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 blah. And like that stops.
I'm
like,
actually
we don't have that shit anymore.
Growing pretty tired of those scenes.
Me too.
Because they were good as like to establish your characters in the first episode. And now it's like, I get you want to be a model and an actor, but you're not to me. You're a character on a reality TV show. So you don't have to remind me anymore.
Well, and it's just like completely irrelevant to the plot of the show.
They're like mini scenes sprinkled through the episodes.
Yeah. I wonder if part of the deal of being on this show was they were like, we'll put your like modeling, acting, whatever passions at the forefront to like help you get jobs.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, that's obviously not happening.
Yeah, like we will show footage of you at a photo shoot and we'll put your music in the show.
Yeah, and the thought of like seeing the way that these people are acting and then being like, I want that person on set.
No.
Unimaginable.
No, no, no.
Completely unimaginable.
Because you are actually also seeing them on professional sets.
Yelling at each other, causing insane drama.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, we just have like a quick opening scene where Kristen is talking about how she wants to be a working actor. She says, if I was a working actor, it would change everything, me. And then she says, and I would certainly quit, sir.
Of course. Of course. I mean, you would have to.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, everything would change if you were a famous working actor.
Yeah.
Duh.
And then there's kind of a funny part after, which is that Peter and Tom are sharing a film that Peter produced and Tom acted in. And then they do a talk back with like the employees of Sir.
But it's just like they rented out a space to show Peter's film, which like, of course, he's a producer director. Duh.
We gotta watch that thing.
Oh, I would love to. I think it's on YouTube or something.
We should watch that and talk about it.
But they rented out a whole theater space for 8 people.
Like less, I think. Like, yeah. Literally like 5 people.
Quote unquote film screening.
So crazy. Okay, and then we have Stassi and Frank. This is the episode where Frank reveals himself to be like a complete and utter piece of shit.
Just a really fucking bad guy.
A really fucking bad guy. Stassi's editing her piece for the quote-unquote online luxury magazine that Lisa and her daughter Pandora own and run.
Yeah, she has a column that she writes weekly for them about like style, fashion. I think it's where OOTD was born.
Well, she didn't invent OOTD.
Well, she invented OOTD Day.
Which is completely different from inventing OOTD. She did not invent OOTD, but she tries to make it seem like she did.
She pushes for the fact that she invented OOTD.
She pushes for the fact that she invented OOTD Day because I think she knows, like, legally she cannot say that she invented OOTD.
Yeah, but OOTD Day was a huge success, I think.
I don't think so. I think I've checked how many hashtags that has. Basically, at one point in the show, Stassi is like, I'm inventing a national holiday or whatever, and it's called hashtag OOTD Day.
Outfit of the day. Day.
And let's see how many posts there are under this hashtag. It says 5,000 plus. So I don't know how successful that is.
I just remember watching that episode and she just kept checking her phone and seeing the notifications roll in that people had posted for OOTD Day.
OOTD Day is so stupid.
Yeah, it's the stupidest thing. Outfit of the day
is so fucking funny.
She wanted to get it registered as like a national holiday or something. You can't say she doesn't have ambition.
You cannot say that she doesn't have ambition.
She's got a dream. She goes for it.
So she's editing her column. She's mad at Frank because he's trying to read it. And she's like, don't read this until I'm done. Don't read this until I'm done. Frank has put up a clothing rack for Stassi in her closet that has collapsed under the weight of her beautiful, beautiful clothes, mini dresses, skirts, tank tops, etc.
All of her clothes are on the ground.
Literally.
And she's like, he walks in. He's like, what the fuck is that? And she's like, well, you put that rack up, said to put all my clothes on it. And then it fell. So can you fix it? You know that
he put up like a fucking shower curtain.
Mm-hmm. And then he goes in there to fix it. And he's like picking all of her nice clothes up off the ground. And she's like, okay, so I can hear my clothes ripping. I can hear my clothes ripping as you're stepping on them and ripping them up off the ground with your big feet and your big hands. Can you please stop?
She says that Frank is the kind of guy who puts up the pole and it falls. And Jax is the kind of guy who never puts the pole up in the first place. And she's like, I can't win. And it's like, maybe you should date neither of them.
Date neither of those kind of guys. I just hate in this scene too. Frank is just like belittling her for her column. Like,
I know.
He says something so stupid. He was like, you're working on your blog. She goes, no, it's not a blog. He goes, what do you mean? You're typing on a computer. Do you think every website is a blog, idiot?
He's revealing himself as a huge misogynist. He's revealing himself as later in the episode as a guy who just like hates the woman he's dating. Yep. But he really is showing the fact that he has like completely no regard or respect for things that he finds like to be quote unquote girly or things that girls are into. He's like,
yeah,
that's fucking stupid because it's about clothes.
Yeah, he thinks that it has absolutely no value whatsoever. The only things that have true value are, I guess, being a bartender and having your a commercial real estate license.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He makes me fume.
Yeah. He like tells her to get off her ass and help him. She says Frank has goals, but he doesn't take fashion seriously. Jax is a fashion model who has no goals. And it's like,
yeah,
once again, stop comparing them. They're both bad in their own beautiful way.
And like, did you really think they were going to be that different? They're both bartenders at Sir.
Same restaurant.
So.
And then we learn Stassi hasn't talked to Katie or Kristen since the whole Vegas incident.
Right.
Next scene, LVP meets with a publicist at her house because she wants to, quote unquote, spice things up at the restaurant and start doing happy hour. I can't believe they weren't already doing happy hour.
I don't believe that they weren't already doing happy hour.
Because the publicist is like, yeah, we have like really nothing going on at the restaurant before dinner. And I'm like, that can't be true. It's on the Santa Monica Strip in West Hollywood that is so busy.
It's not
true. Any bar people are at.
It's unless they're closing the restaurant between lunch and dinner. They were doing a happy hour.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know. They just needed to fill like a little bit of airtime because before
Ken drops his bomb.
Yeah, I love. So Ken drops the bomb that.
But wait, we have to say that one of my favorite things in the world is when producers feed Ken a line to tell Lisa.
That's what I was just about to say. Ken will sometimes come in with like a big piece of drama
that clearly the producers told him to tell Lisa.
He like broke Scandoval.
Yeah, and he was like in his dementia bag during that.
No, so I know. He like wandered in senile.
He literally hobbles in and is like, oh, Kevin, Tom, okay, I'm in the tub. And you're like, what did you say?
Yeah. They literally, everybody is like, wait, Ken, what? Huh? And then he hobbles out. But he's a little bit more lucid in this.
He is.
If there's not a way to organically bring the drama to Lisa, like if none of the staff is going to tell her,
yeah,
then they have to call upon Ken to do it.
Yeah. And so Ken tells Lisa, he says, did you hear the rumor? The security the other night walked into the bathroom and Jax and Laura Lee were naked having sex.
Why would you get fully naked? Why would you get naked?
Why would you not lock the door?
Why would you not lock the door?
And why would you get fully naked?
And why would you be on the floor?
I don't
is
know.
Is the thing too. Like you can, not to get too graphic, have sex standing up and have like mostly everything covered, especially because she's wearing like a tiny little dress.
No, it's just not
like,
graphic at all.
Just pull the dress up and unzip your pants.
Yeah,
like,
legit.
You don't need to take everything off.
Of course.
It's so crazy to me. That is so deeply inappropriate.
It's so crazy.
And they were in the VIP bathroom, like the bathroom for customers.
I know. And Lisa's like, don't be ridiculous to Ken. And it's like, girl, he is not being ridiculous. He's telling you the straight up truth.
Yeah. He's not a ridiculous guy like that.
No.
He is ridiculous in a way. Like, Ken's ridiculous, but not like he's not a drama starter like that.
He's not making up gossip.
No. He doesn't have the
mental capacity.
Yes. I didn't want to say it.
I won't say it for you. So then Stassi and Sheena are eating at Sir, not before their shift. Well, before Sheena's shift, but Stassi has clocked in and is having her crispy chicken salad. They both were like, sorry, trigger warning. They both were like, I don't know why I'm so hungry. Like I ate lunch. And then they reveal that it's 6 p.m. And I'm like, well, you're hungry because it's dinner time.
Because it's dinner time. Yeah. And what did you have for lunch, girls?
A beer.
Yeah, a glass of wine. Kristen is really mad at Stassi because she's eating dinner and she's clocked in. She's supposed to be working. And this is tough for me because Kristen is being aggressive towards Stassi because she's mad at her because of Vegas.
Yeah.
But she actually is valid in this because it would be just like supremely annoying to...
Yeah, I know.
For your coworker to come in and instead of starting work, like taking the tables that they're supposed to have,
I know.
Sit down and eat a full meal.
I know. But I kind of honestly get both sides in the way where I'm like, it's annoying for your coworker to do that. But also ideally you work at a place where, and I know it's like annoying because it's Stassi and she's doing this and it's like repeat behavior. But ideally you would work at a place where like if you came in and you were really hungry, you could clock in and be like, I'm just going to eat this really fast. But
right,
she is having a full sit down meal.
Yeah,
with her
she's
friend.
Not like eating it really fast.
No.
She's like taking a bite and then talking
yeah,
for
it's
2
like,
minutes.
Eat that standing up in the area where you like take your coat off.
Yeah.
Shovel that in your mouth.
And it is funny because so Kristen tattles on Stassi to Peter and then Peter has to go talk to them.
Yes.
And then Kristen comes up and she's like, wait, I didn't mean Sheena.
I know.
Because Sheena's like fully in her street clothes eating her dinner like half an hour before her shift is supposed to start. And then Stassi is like, why are you choosing to go through the manager now? You love micromanaging. Kristen probably is so awful to work with.
Oh, I'm fucking sure.
Acting like she is the head honcho.
Well, and you know she's acting like any mistake that someone makes is a direct attack on her when it's like, I'm trying my best. I'm sorry that that affected you.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it would be awful to be new and work with Kristen.
It would be terrible.
Any slip up you make is personally ruining her life.
Yeah, it would be terrible. It was so funny that she was like, I didn't want you to get mad at Sheena. I only wanted you to get mad at Stassi.
I know.
And Peter's like, well, I'm sorry.
And they are fully eating at a table in the restaurant.
I know. And Peter, what his point is valid. He's like, we can't have employees just like eating their lunch at a table in the restaurant. Yeah. So like either way, you guys have to pack this up and not do it here,
mm-hmm.
which is valid.
So Jax and Laura Lee are going out to dinner. They go to the restaurant Takami, which is like a sushi restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But as a little pre-dinner appetizer, they decide to go fuck in the bathroom.
Yep.
Their new favorite place to have sex, a restaurant bathroom.
And I have something to say that might be kind of mean.
What?
But I think is also kind of valid.
Uh-oh.
Which is that I feel like Laura Lee might just have an addictive personality. And it is like, if you're giving up ultimately meth and alcohol, hard to kick.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing to fuck all the time.
No.
It's going to give you a dopamine rush.
I think that's totally true.
Like, yeah.
I don't think that's mean. It's
okay,
like,
thank you.
Oftentimes people will replace substances with other like behaviors that are less harmful.
Yeah.
And sometimes sexual promiscuity can be
And when
harmful
I've been like hella
way,
depressed, I've been like, let's fuck because this literally is the only time of the day where I don't feel like I want to kill myself.
No, exactly. But it's like if you are swapping out those behaviors for or your addiction for different behaviors that like give you a thrill but aren't like killing you, then
yeah,
that's totally fine. That's like whatever.
This
but
scene literally looks like it's the beginning of a porno. Sorry.
I know.
Because they're like running through the hall holding hands being like,
mm-hmm.
ew.
And she like drags him into the bathroom and he's
like
what's going on?
I know. Jax is like, you're bad. Like,
and then you hear
so gross,
they close the door and they do like a little hot mic moment where you can hear them moaning a little bit. At first I was like, I think this is fake. Like, I don't think they actually fucked in the bathroom. But then
they fucked in the bathroom.
I think they did because they come out back out to dinner and they're so giddy being like, we can say we had sex in this restaurant.
Yeah, I think they did. I just think that neither of them care about like being filmed fucking in the, do you know what I mean?
I don't think either of them
care about that.
Yeah.
In his confessional, Jack says, Laura Lee is a freak. She's an absolute freak, but I love it.
I know.
And I was like, okay, you fucking pervert.
I know. And it is really insidious because Lisa will bring up to him, she does it later in the episode, like, please be careful of Laura Lee.
Yes.
Like, she's fragile. Like, you need to be careful with her.
Yes.
And he's like, I know her past. And so to me, he knows that she is in a vulnerable state, willing to kind of do anything, like be freaky, whatever.
Of
and
course.
He's fully taking advantage
I know.
Of that.
Lisa being like, please be careful with her. And he's like, a perfect opportunity for me to manipulate someone and take advantage of them.
And in this scene, Laura Lee is, they're at dinner and she's like, it's like somebody followed me around for the past 5 years and listened to everything I wanted in a man. And then you appeared and it's like you're saying everything right. All of the time, you're like exactly my perfect man, saying everything I want to hear.
I know.
It's just such classic manipulation. He's preying on your insecurity. He's preying on your like faltering self-esteem, taking full advantage of you, telling you nice things and love bombing you.
No.
And then in his confessional being like, Laura Lee is 100% into me and I don't even think I'm 50% into her.
I know. It's really sad. And it is like, ladies, if you feel like he's telling you everything you want to hear, that is a bad sign.
Be careful.
Like, yeah, obviously not all the time, but I am with a man like Jax. If you're like, he's telling me everything I want to hear, it's like, okay, he's manipulating you.
Especially when you've been, you know, of his past relationships and have more or less been warned by those women.
100%. Yeah, I cannot believe him being like, Laura Lee is 100% in and I don't even know if I'm 50. It's like,
it's crazy to see that kind of male manipulator at work through every step of the process.
I know.
So transparent about it.
I know. It's really dark. Next scene, Kristen and Katie go to a cycling class.
They don't like it very much.
They don't. They hate it.
They really hate it.
Kristen is in the confessional being like, God, Kristen loves to, I don't know, she acts so strange in the confessionals because she is like, she's kind of awkward in real life. She's a bit awkward, but in the confessionals, she's putting on such a funny act, saying this thing where she's like, there's a lot of pressure to be the hottest, thinnest girl at Sir. Like, she so wants to be saying these things that she sounds so cool. She's like, which is why I work out 5 times a week.
And I know, like, she's putting on an air of like confidence smirking. That she doesn't quite have in real life, but she's emboldened by being alone in a room with a producer.
Yeah, 100%. It's really funny. She wants to make everything seem like very glamorous.
Yes.
But they both hated the workout class. This is kind of just a scene for us to learn that Katie is seeing Stassi that night.
Yeah, Katie's meeting up with Stassi, but Stassi was not ready to talk to Kristen.
Which I understand completely.
Me too. And Kristen is like, that just shows me that she doesn't value me as much as she values you. And it's like, duh.
Yeah, and Kristen is like, Stassi is no longer the person that I used to be friends with. And I'm like, that's not true.
That's not true.
That's not true. And you guys treated her like shit. You treated her like dog shit. So yeah, if she's being rude to you or showing you like a negative side of herself, it's because you fucking treated her like shit.
And you're being rude to her back. It's like not a one-way street. You guys are both being pretty rude to each other.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Then we're at Sir because Lisa wants to talk to Jax and Laura Lee.
About the fact that they fucked in the bathroom.
Yeah, so she is like, this is when she says, okay, you were caught with your trousers down.
Yep.
And they immediately deny.
They immediately lie. To the point where for a second I was like, because it was confusing the way they did the editing of them. They have Ken tell the information. Then they have the scene of them fucking at the other restaurant. And so I was kind of like, oh, is there a chance that like the rumor mill just got it twisted? But no. Then they're cut, smash cut to them in the confessional being like, we're lying. We fucked in the bathroom. We just don't want Lisa to know.
Yeah, it's like, Jax is like, yeah, obviously we had sex in the bathroom. I just really don't want to lose my job. So I'm going to stick to my story. But it's so funny when Lisa's like, you got caught in the bathroom with your, you were naked in the bathroom. And Laura Lee is like, no, we fucked it to Kami.
Yeah, I know.
No, we didn't fuck here. We fucked it in the bathroom at Takami.
I know. It's so crazy. And also Laura Lee goes, if I was to have sex with him, I would lock the door. And it's like, don't even admit that you would have sex with
exactly.
him here, girl.
Don't
even like give that much.
And you didn't.
I know. It's also, I feel like that's a classic liars thing where it's like, if you hadn't done it, you would never give the piece of information being like, well, if I had done it, I would do this. Well, you would just be like, I would never do that. So it's like,
classic
don't
Jax.
Even say that, girl.
Yeah. It's so Jax. I mean, I know it's Laura Lee doing it, but she's obviously picked up a trick.
Yeah, of course.
To be like, kind of tell a half of a truth.
Yeah. And then Lisa accuses Laura Lee and warns Jax again, basically to just be like, you need to be careful with Laura Lee.
Yeah. And she's like, you guys are spending a lot of time together. This relationship is super fast tracked. You need to be really careful of her, or careful with her, not of her. She's not dangerous. She is fragile. And he's like, well, she's not my girlfriend. Yes, she is.
And I know you're clearly giving her the full girlfriend treatment. Mm-hmm. I wrote that down in the other scene with them too, where it's like, obviously you're treating her like she's your girlfriend. Yep. Like there are ways to date people casually and give them the sign of like, this is not a serious relationship, which is like, do not take them out to places, only hang out in your house, communicate well.
Or, yeah, and it's like, go for a drink at a bar, don't go to a fancy restaurant. And then when she says, I'm so happy that we're here together, don't lean across the table, kiss her and say, I'm so happy we're here together
too. I know,
he's
like calling her babe and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking smash cut to him in his confessional being like, I'm not even 50% in. God damn. I'm
so
fucking
scared to
gun.
See what your 100% looks like.
As I said last week, I think it is him being even more evil. Like, I think if he feels like he's 100% in, he's
I mean, he has
be,
a free pass to abuse them is what he feels. He does it to Brittany.
Yeah.
He makes her get a giant boobs and cook him food.
She actually says that she didn't regret that.
She doesn't. I don't think she regrets
which
her
boob
job. Which
is incredible to me.
His ex-wife, Brittany, I don't think regrets her boob job, but he did make her get a couple of sizes bigger than
I know,
she
but
had
I
wanted.
Literally just read a. I always wonder if she how she feels about it, and mm-hmm. I just read a Reddit thread where someone had gone to a live show with Britney and her gay. What's that guy's name on the Valley?
That guy with the hair.
Yeah, that gay guy with the helmet remember. Hair. I don't even fucking know. And they asked her about the boob job, and she was like, "I don't regret it at all. I wanted to do that."
Okay,
so,
great.
Just, I mean. Just good to know, but there are still scenes of him being like bigger, bigger, bigger. Yes. And it's like, you're a criminal.
He goes, I'm paying for them. I'm going to get them as big as I want. Not your body, not your body, not your body, not your body.
Not
do
your
not
body.
Own her.
Okay. Then Katie and Stassi meet up. Katie does the classic thing where they bring a bottle of wine for each of them, which is so fucking disgusting to me. Sorry.
She shows up with two bottles of wine, like kind of dancing them around it. And it's like immediately the ice is broken. Like you can tell things are going to go well.
This conversation actually went a lot better than I thought it would. We can go through it. But I literally wrote, I'm so fucking scared every time they have a confrontation where each person wants the other one to apologize.
I know.
Because a lot of the time it just devolves into screaming and yelling and nothing happens.
Compromise is not in their vocabulary.
No, it's absolutely not. But
Katie is pretty. Katie can be level-headed when she's dealing with somebody who she actually loves.
Yes. She basically, Katie, I still obviously do not condone the way Katie acted, but she like pretty clearly and succinctly expresses to Stassi that she was mostly acting out of a place of like sadness and hurt, being like, I just wish that you had told me about Frank before, basically being like all in, and I just felt kind of like left out and left out of the loop.
Yes. And she,
which I still don't know why the fuck she acted the way she did in response to that. It's like batshit insane, but
no, obviously her reaction to that emotion was wildly incorrect, yeah. But her emotion in itself was valid.
Yeah.
And she says that she felt a lot of concern about Stassi entering into a new relationship with Frank so immediately.
Yeah.
Which again, the response is not to fully isolate your friend.
No.
If you're feeling concern about their new relationship.
Of course not.
It is ultimately what she chose to do, but she is being pretty understanding and reasonable,
yeah,
explaining herself and then listening to Stassi.
Yeah. And you can tell that they both just care a lot about each other. Like, they both clearly are like, I don't want to be mad at you anymore. Right. I just want to be friends again.
They're crying the tears that happen in a girl fight and makeup that are like actually so sad and sweet.
Yeah.
Because you can tell they don't want to be mad at each other.
Yeah.
They just want it to be over and be friends again.
Yes, I'm happy for them.
It's sweet. Yeah. And their friendship is more or less healed.
Yeah. We're back at Sir.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So we're back at Sir. There's a bartender there that's covering Frank's shift because
Joey
is there. Joti. Because because Frank is on suspension, basically. What happened at the restaurant is that basically there were customers there who were buying, they were ordering martinis. They were ordering double martinis. Frank started charging them double the price for a double martini, which is obviously not standard.
Yeah, that's so not he what was do. Just charging. So I do have a question about this, but he was charging them $30 per drink, which is unreal. I'm just wondering, like, how do you even make a martini double? Because it is just the booze.
No,
it's
that
like,
is a valid.
I understand doing like a double vodka soda. It's like more. It's two shots of vodka.
A little and bit less soda.
A little bit less
soda. I noticed like, where's the extra shot even going in there?
Yeah, I don't really understand.
Just a huge martini glass, I suppose.
Yeah, but still, obviously, it should not be a $30 drink.
It's so crazy. So Frank was charging them $30 per martini. They like check out or whatever, go to like pay. Mm-hmm. And the customer gets mad at Frank and is like, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Frank then calls the customer a peasant.
He says, if you can't pay your bill, you should go somewhere else. If you couldn't afford to come here, you shouldn't have come here, you peasant.
Yes. And then obviously, like, the person gets mad at him in response. And mm-hmm. then Frank says, go back to your fucking ugly girlfriend before I embarrass you in front of her by pulling your underwear over your head, you fucking nerd. And then the customer threw a drink in Frank's face.
Yeah, threw a beer at him.
Could you imagine?
To be honest, that's such a fucking lame own, in my opinion. Like,
of course.
Before I pull your underwear over your head, what are you, 12?
I know. But could you fucking imagine?
No, like, I couldn't.
Obviously, it's insane the way that customers treat people who work in service. Like, yes. It's insane that that guy was, it is insane that that guy was yelling no matter what, but it also is insane that Frank was charging him $30 for a martini.
Because
so like,
imagine getting multiple rounds of double martinis and then seeing that your bill is astronomically high for like, I don't know, four drinks.
You're like, what the fuck?
You are obviously going to go up to the bartender and be like, I think there was a mistake here.
Of course.
And then they rail on you for being poor, call your girlfriend ugly.
Fucking and, ugly.
And threaten to
give you a massive wedgie.
Yeah, an atomic wedgie, a nuclear wedgie.
It's so, so crazy.
That would piss my ass off too.
Of course. I mean, it is like, how are you working as a bartender or in service if you have these insane rage issues where you just like will fly off the handle at a customer?
I know you can't.
The way one of the main things you have to do in the service industry is just like take shit from the people you're serving and like diffuse tension.
Yeah, you unfortunately have to be a doormat. It's a big part of the job.
It's literally one of the biggest parts of the job.
And they say it a little bit later on in the episode, but like, Sir doesn't give a shit about if you miss shifts, if you're late, if you call off. The only thing they care about is that you treat the customers like
literally
well.
Literally. Imagine you were at your job and that guy was rude to you. You're like, well, I'm gonna fucking give you a swirly, you fucking nerd. Get out of here with your ugly ass girlfriend. It's like, okay, don't drag her into it, first of all.
Yeah, come on, leave her alone.
It's so crazy.
Oh, I can't.
It's so crazy.
And it's like, as many times as I wish I could have done that, I never have. It's just not how you act at your job.
Of course not. It's so crazy.
It's not standard behavior. It's unacceptable.
No. So then we have a scene. The next scene is Frank has to meet with Lisa.
Yeah, Frank.
Obviously.
Frank and Stassi are pulling up to the restaurant because Frank has to have a meeting with Lisa. And after the meeting, Frank and Stassi are going to meet her Stassi's parents. Stassi's like, what's this meeting about? He's like, I don't know.
Girl, yes, you do.
You know.
You threatened to give a customer a huge wedgie and called his girlfriend ugly, called him a peasant and a fucking nerd. You know why you're
here. You know why you're here. And then you got taken off your shift today.
Yeah.
You know, so you know why you're here.
It's so crazy for him to be like, I don't know.
God.
Idiot. An idiot.
Such an idiot.
We learn that Frank has had multiple incidents with customers, which is not surprising. It's like, if you do that once, you've done it multiple times, obviously.
Yeah, it's
you
not
have
a,
rage problems.
Yes, and he did it to Kyle Richards.
Oh, yeah.
Lisa was like, you had that incident with Kyle, and then cuts to his confessional being like, he really offended my friend Kyle. And it's like, what the fuck did he do to Kyle Richards? God. Wait, sorry, an aside, but it's so funny that Lisa continues to have housewife events at Sir when they're so entangled with the Sir staff.
I know.
And the Sir staff is so unprofessional and they're bad at their jobs. It's so embarrassing funny. For Lisa.
It is literally embarrassing. It is literally embarrassing.
She's
because
like, sorry, my pack of kids keep acting up. I know. Up.
And the whole name of like the housewives game is to just like show off and be like, here's my beautiful restaurant where everything runs perfectly and like everyone is so well behaved and the service is amazing. And then it's like them screaming at each other and maybe even you.
Yes. The customer. And it's like you show up there and then you're like, well, that waitress fucked my husband.
100%.
And oh, wow, she's coming up to me.
Yeah. Oh, and she has something to say. Yeah. So then Frank just like denies.
Yeah.
He is being crazy. There's so many crazy back and forths. Lisa's being really good at playing the bad cop.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, she's doing this thing where she's like, you know why you're here. You know what happened. He's like, that didn't happen. And she does this thing where she's like, be a man. Tell the truth. If you're really such a man. And it's like, that is so smart.
Yeah, it's really because he can't resist that.
No.
He falls for it.
Literally, the only way to get those guys to tell the truth is to be like, oh, so I guess you're a little pussy bitch then if you won't even tell me the fucking truth.
Exactly. She's like, own up to what the fuck you did. Be a big guy. Come on. Yeah, literally. Come on.
She was being like really amazing at kind of playing psychological games with him in that moment.
Yeah, because then he's like, well, fucking fine. Yeah, they were like talking shit to me and I talk shit back to them and then he threw a drink on me, whatever.
Yeah. And it's like, there we go. Yeah. There we go, buddy. It's so, I don't know. He's such a weird liar guy.
He's just not really quite skilled at it.
Yeah.
Necessarily. And I don't know, because Jax obviously has a massive ego, but Frank's ego gets in the way where he like can't help but slip up and tell the truth because he wants to show off.
Like Jax would know to not fall into the trap that Lisa is placing there for him.
Yeah, Jax will in that moment like get stepped upon so that he can keep his job and continue to be evil to the people he wants to be literally. Evil to. Frank is not quite smart enough to like lay down for a second.
Yeah.
So I mean, he gets fired.
He walks out. Oh my god, oh, he's pissing me the fuck off. He walks out to the car with Stassi going, my prayers have been answered.
Yeah, he has this fake ass attitude that he's so happy to have been fired.
He says that he did that to the customer so that Lisa would fire him.
He says that.
That's not true.
On multiple occasions, he said, I got myself fired on purpose. Well, you didn't. You would have just quit.
Such a brain dead statement. I got myself fired on purpose. Yeah. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. No, you fucking because didn't. The whole thing about getting fired is that it's not on purpose.
It's not on purpose.
It's not your choice whatsoever.
Okay. Can I read a quote that he said?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, she didn't want to let me talk, but I talked anyway because whatever direction she wanted to steer it, I'm going to take the bull by the horns and steer it. If you don't want to hear the truth, I'm going to tell you the truth. Clean the shit out of your ears and actually listen, which is literally the opposite of what happened.
It is 100% not what happened
at
all.
She baited him into a trap and then he told her the truth.
Yeah.
She was like, tell me the truth, you little pussy bitch. And then he was like, fine.
Yes. You didn't go into that conversation wanting to tell the truth at all. No. You wanted to lie your way out of it.
And then you got too insecure about your masculinity.
Yeah. And then when you tell the truth, you lose your job because you did something bad. I also wrote down that he said, I took the bull by the horns in that conversation. No, you didn't. You walked in with a job and you walked out without a job.
The way that he did literally the opposite of taking the bulls by the horn in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He
got gouged by the bull's horns.
It's so crazy. He is so demented in the brain.
I hate Frank too.
I hate him so much.
Especially because then he just like hops in the convertible and he's like, okay, let's go to lunch with your parents.
And Stassi's like, I'm freaking out. You just lost your job?
And it's like, fuck you, buddy. Come on. I just broke up with the bartender Jax. I dated you. You were supposed to be better. And now you get fired for bad behavior.
Come
fuck
on.
My life.
Come on. So then we have the meal with the parents.
Yeah, lunch with Mark and Dana. they
are crazy,
are showing their true colors.
Yeah, I will say, we'll get to it, but it's like, well, luckily it actually doesn't matter that Frank got fired because Stassi's parents are batshit insane.
Yeah. Yeah, they couldn't. They couldn't care less. They really don't care.
So Stonky, help me. Help me, Stonky.
Oh my God.
Stassi and Frank, their couple named Stonky.
It is Stonky.
Ship Stonky. R.I.P. Stonky. Stassi and Frank go to meet with her parents and they both have been like drinking for like 2 hours straight.
Yeah. Frank shows up and he's like, oh, would you guys get mojitos? And they go, nope, just vodka. It's just two big glasses of vodka. Enough liquid in the cup that you would think it's a mojito, a mixed drink.
It's not.
But it's not.
They're both crazy alcoholics.
And they're like, oh yeah, so like on our way here when we were getting ready, we picked up a bottle of vodka and finished that off.
And like they're driving.
Yeah, they're driving. They're in Malibu. They're not driving. Like taking a car.
No, they're driving like 2 fucking hours.
They drank a bottle of Stoli raspberry.
And also I was like, so did you drink that in the car?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Her dad has a flask. Anyway.
Yes.
Frank just keeps saying, I've been praying to get fired because he wants to get back into the commercial real estate
business. He said it's actually really good news that he got fired because a couple of weeks ago, he started getting back into commercial real estate and doing commercial real estate answer at the same time. It's just too much.
Yeah. And then it cuts to Stassi in the confessional being like, I've never seen him do that job.
Yeah. She's like, he talks about it like he knows what he's talking about, but I really don't think that's true.
Yeah. He like tells a story of getting fired and her parents are just laughing. It's like, this guy is a psychopath, but they're also, what I have to remember is they are also psychopaths, so.
They are drunk psychopaths.
Yeah. Frank just starts like shitting on Stassi, saying that Stassi has quote unquote pretty girl syndrome, which means she knows she's a pretty girl. If she doesn't want to do something, she can get someone to do it for her.
And then.
Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off. And it's like, you're the one doing it for her.
No, also it is like, that's not pretty girl syndrome. It's being in a relationship where it's like, yeah, you help out your partner.
I know. I mean, we'll get to it in a later scene, but like. He just does hate her.
He does. And he's complaining about her to her parents, which also turns out to be fine because her mom fucking hates her so much.
Yeah. He goes, Frank goes, Stassi has pretty girl syndrome. Or her mom goes, well, she didn't have that in high school. And her dad goes, yeah, she was pretty homely.
Literally.
And then they go through this like litany of her ugliness in high school. She had a tummy. She was pale. She didn't date. She came home and ate bread. She had a round face.
The part where they're like, she would eat bread. I was like, what? It's like she's having toast. Like, yeah.
Well, they said that she would lay on the kitchen floor and eat a loaf of bread from the inside out, hollowing it out and leaving the crust.
Sounds amazing to me.
Me too. And it's also like your daughter was obviously going through something.
Yeah, your daughter maybe had a binge eating disorder or something. But also I'm like, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, it does. I know that it was hell to grow up in that
household. I know.
Especially because they got her a chin implant for as her high school graduation present.
Which is so crazy.
Oh my God.
Their proof that she's was quote unquote like ugly and weird is literally just that she had like black hair. Like,
and she looked stunning.
They show photos of her. She looks like basically 100% the same, but mm-hmm. She just has like black hair and they're like, she was a goth. She was weird. Everyone goes through a phase in high school.
Exactly.
And also that was when like being goth was like in as fuck, you know?
Yeah. Also like she had like presumably brown hair and then dyed it black and put
whatever.
On like a red lip. Like she wasn't a goth.
No, of course not.
She was still like a pretty popular girl and probably like a diva bitch at that time as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, of course. So then yeah, her dad has a photo of her rubber banded to his flask that's in his pocket.
When he brought out the photo to show Frank, I thought that it was in his wallet.
No, attached to his flask.
And then it zoomed in and the way it's like so haphazardly rubber banded on
there. Literally rubber banded to his flask. Why are you doing that?
So sad.
It's really sad and really bizarre.
He's like, yeah, I take a drink and then I pour one out for my baby.
For my ugly ass baby.
I actually think he said homie. He said, I take a drink, then I pour one out for my homie.
And then kind of the end of the scene is they say to Frank, you're not a Democrat, are you? And he goes, no. And they go, oh, thank God.
Yeah. And then they all laugh.
And they all laugh. Kikiing with my girlfriend's parents.
God, wait. Oh, they're from New Orleans.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, are they from Orange County? Because they are giving that,
but no, they're from New Orleans, which also makes sense. They're like fucking, shout out. But I think there's a lot of weird people in New Orleans. And it's like huge drinking culture and stuff, obviously.
Yeah. And it's just clear to see that where Stassi's problems come from.
Yeah, I mean, her parents are fucking shitting on her in front of her boyfriend. And she's like being a good sport about it. She's like laughing along and being like, ha ha ha, this is what we do. But it's really fucking sad.
It's really sad because they're actually all teaming up against her. Yes. Even Frank is shitting on her too. And they're all joining in and laughing at her expense.
And it's like, yeah, you're just, you can see, like, you've taught your daughter to have deep insecurity. You've taught her that her only worth is if she's attractive and has a fucking chin implant. Mm-hmm. You've taught her that binge drinking is, like, absolutely fucking normal. It's, like, really sad.
And it, I don't know. Over the course of the series, you see her mom acting
crazy.
Just so awful.
So bad.
It's really, really sad. It's
really, really sad.
And it makes me feel really proud of Stassi for how far she's come now.
I agree. We have a really quick scene where Ken gives Lisa a new car. It's like a bright pink old timey car. And then they drive around in it.
Yeah, it's just a hot pink sir car.
That's it. And then we have BFGF brunch.
Ah, that's what I wrote.
Yay.
I wrote the GFs and BFs lunch.
Yes, where... it's Katie, Schwartz, Kristen, and Sandoval getting brunch together.
It used to be a six-some.
Yeah, Katie laments that Jax and Stassi aren't hanging out with them anymore.
We're down to a foursome, which I totally understand because, like, so, Katie, you have to hang out with your awful boyfriend, Tom Schwartz. You have to hang out with crazy-ass Kristen. Mm-hmm. You have to hang out with egotistical Tom Sandoval. Yeah. The only person that you probably would want to hang out with there is Stassi. Stassi. Yeah. And you can't.
Yeah. They all find out that Frank got fired. Jax calls Kristen and tells her that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I know that you disagree with me, but I maintain that, like, even if they weren't fucking, Kristen and Jax had a weird flirtation relationship.
Because you're right.
Why is he calling her?
Why would he call her?
Why would he call her?
Why wouldn't he call one of the boys?
And the way she defends him, I just don't. Something is going on, in my opinion.
something fishy.
Something is in the water.
Something's afoot.
They're all, like, happy, basically, that Frank got fired.
Yeah, it turns out Frank had only worked at Sir for 3 to 4 months.
Like, and he'd gotten into, like, 3 altercations with customers.
Yeah, he, like, got in, tore shit up, and got out.
Katie says that she still thinks that, like, Jax and Stassi will get back together.
Everyone kind of does.
Which, whatever.
Because at work, well, this was surprising to me, but at work, Stassi apparently is always going up to the bar and talking to Jax.
Yeah. Well, we'll later see that, how she loves to toy with him. Because remember when?
Yes.
That is amazing.
Yes.
When he gets her name tattooed on him, and then it's him sobbing in the car being like, you don't understand what I've done for you. It's so funny how she basically just, like, keeps the door open for him to think that they'll get back together, and then he gets her name.
Well, eventually, and it will come up soon, there is a year-long period where she is basically like, if you do everything I want for a year, maybe we'll get back together.
It's amazing.
And he fucking does it.
It's amazing. And this also goes to the theory that a lot of people have, which I don't even believe, but a lot of people think that Stassi is the only person that Jax has ever really been in love with. And I'm like, I don't think he's capable of love.
I don't think it's love. But I think he's
more fixated on her than anyone else he's been in a relationship with. But I don't think that it's like he really loved her.
I think that Stassi was his greatest triumph.
Yes.
So it's hardest to let go of her.
And I'm sure he hates to see how she's, like, winning now.
Yeah, but I don't think what he ever had for her was love.
No. No. And basically, they're like, yeah, they'll get back together. They're so similar. And Sandoval's like, they're both little crybabies. And it's like, well, Jax is a little crybaby. Stassi is crying because Jax is abusing her emotionally.
Yeah, she's getting traumatized day after day.
Day in, day out.
She's obviously going to be crying about it.
Then we have Frank and Stassi's. I mean, it's like, it's Stassi's apartment, I guess, but Frank is always fucking there. And it's like, get out of there, you fucked up freak.
Well, and she's like, I didn't even ask you to come here. It's like, why are you there?
He just went over to literally be mean to her and pick a fight with her.
I know.
So Frank says that he made the decision to get fired again. This is also where I think he does this a lot later on. He starts talking in the third person. If I remember correctly,
that will
continue on. He says, Frank 1, Vanderpump
0. Oh, yes.
And I do think he later on will keep talking in the third person. Doesn't he?
Probably.
We'll see. But I feel like I remember him talking in the third person.
He's got a really, really inflated sense of self.
Yeah, he does.
He thinks he's really, truly king of the castle. Especially because now he owns a building with his commercial business partner.
I'm so confused by his finances and everything that's going on with that.
I think he probably just has, like, family money or something.
Yeah.
And they gave him some money to buy a building to work on his commercial real estate. But I don't... Again, I think Stassi's right. I don't think he knows what he's doing at all.
No. And... yeah, this, like, escalates into a fight. It's a little bit hard to track because I do literally think Frank just went over there to pick a fight with Stassi.
He's just being so ultimately rude to her.
Yeah, Stassi basically is like, my parents really liked you, and asking him, like, what did you think of them? And he's just like, what, like, why do you want to know? Like, he literally is just like, what do you want me to say? I really liked your parents and I love you. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck? Fucking freak.
And then he was like, okay, I guess you can tell them that, like, whatever, they raised, like, an amazing, well-adjusted daughter who, like, knows how to do stuff for herself and treats people well. Okay.
It's like, what are you, why are
why
you
are you saying that?
Why are you here?
And then he's like saying stuff like, I do all this shit for you. I do so much for you. Like, I pick you up, I drive you places. And she's like, I'm not asking you to do that. I've never asked you to do that.
No.
And he goes, what, you think I like doing things for you?
This is what I was saying earlier.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
It's another fucking example of a man dating a woman who he hates.
He hates.
He hates her.
If you were in a relationship with...
been dating also for like 2 weeks at this point.
Yeah. If you're dating somebody you love and you care about, then yeah, you do enjoy doing things for them.
I don't know if it's like possible for any of these men to not hate the women that they're with, because I think they just hate women with like a capital W.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy to see. It's like, it's just unbelievable where it's like, how... what is your idea of an ideal relationship for you? Because
it's to them, they want a woman who never asks them for, who is a
sex
who
doll,
isn't
basically.
A person who's a sex doll, who never asks them for anything, who is only there to listen to them, who they never have to do anything for, who they don't have to support, who's like,
and is also like, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything.
Yes,
you bum.
You fucking bum. You just got fired, motherfucker. I
literally
hate him.
I hate him.
I really, really despise the way that he's acting. And
I know.
Do. It's so transparent that it's because he just is a misogynist.
Yes.
But it's so awful to watch.
It's really tough.
To see him like turn on her and be like, she goes outside to cry and he starts storming away and she's like, can you please not leave? Can you please have a conversation with me?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you just stormed out of your fucking apartment. Like, I'm just doing what you're doing. No.
I know. And he keeps being like, you're in the wrong. You're in the wrong. And I don't even know what he like possibly thinks she would be in the wrong about. He, as I said, he just went over there to pick a fight with her.
She says that. She asks like, what did I do?
It's so crazy.
And he's like, you don't care about anyone but yourself. Like you blah, blah,
what
blah,
are you
all
talking
this stuff.
About?
And I understand Stassi's immature and she's dramatic. And I think of she's probably not the best partner.
No. And of course she's like self-absorbed. But it's like, yeah, you're dating a 23-year-old.
Yes.
Sorry.
And you knew her before you started dating.
No, and she's not being evil to you.
Mm-mm.
She's just like immature. Whatever.
You
don't date her.
You put up the rack in her bedroom and then it fell all the way down.
Yeah. So then they're like yelling at each other on the street. And then like he just walks away and she is like sad. And yeah. I also think that what happened with this relationship, I could be wrong. My assumption is that Frank used Stassi to try and get on the show, but then like fumbled the bag so severely because it's like, well, one, you would have to date her longer for the audience or anyone to be endeared to you. And you would also have to not be a complete and utter psycho.
You would have had to integrate yourself into the friend group more. Mm-hmm.
Everyone hates you.
So if you break up with Stassi, nobody's on your side. You're off the show.
Yeah.
And you just lost your job at the restaurant.
Yeah.
So there's no chance you're going to get any camera time.
Yep.
What? They're not going to go to your apartment where you're alone to do what? Nobody wants to hang out with you.
Yeah. And that's the episode.
Yeah, that's the whole episode. That is the whole episode.
Yeah, this is when Frank like reveals himself to be a fucking dirtbag piece of shit. But he'll be gone soon.
He will be gone really soon. I don't really remember if he makes how much more of an appearance he makes.
I think that in my memory, I remember him really talking about himself in the third person, which leads me to believe there's like one more episode where he goes crazy or something. Well, but I could be like misremembering.
He could totally pull a Jax and just like show up somewhere where they all are.
Yeah, maybe.
To scream.
Yeah. Okay, hero, villain.
A villain, Frank.
Obviously, villain, Frank. Hero.
Hero, Lisa.
Lisa, yeah, legit, because she got his ass for real.
Yeah, she did. The Jedi mind trick on
him.
She
did. A really simple one. He fell right in. He fell right in. I loved her doing that.
Me too.
It's amazing. Okay. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening.
Like, rate, review, send it to your friend.
Seriously.
And listen to the bonus apps.
Sign up for our Patreon.
Possibly. We'll see what happens.
If you want.
If you would like to. Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Toodaloo.